Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. The nation's economy finished 1993 with all cylinders firing as GDP raced ahead by 5.9%, the best showing since the boom year of 1987. The advance was propelled by heavy consumer spending on housing, cars, and other big-ticket items. Mike Angelitos, economist for Cleveland Society Bank, expects the good news to be contagious.
These numbers indicate that consumer confidence should continue, you know, to improve in the months ahead.
What did Tanya Harding know, and when did she know it? That, as Dan Revive reports from Portland, is becoming a key question as investigators unravel the plot to cripple Nancy Kerrigan.
The district attorney from Multnomah County sent no explanation with the subpoenas that arrived in the newsrooms of most Portland television stations. The documents demand all videotape broadcast this month of statements by Tanya Harding, leaving the impression that prosecutors want to check for any inconsistencies with yesterday's emotional announcement by Harding.
I had no prior knowledge of the planned assault on Nancy Kerrigan.
Coupled with her admission that after Kerrigan's knee was clubbed, Harding did learn about the conspiracy, but for days said nothing to authorities. She did not mention by name her ex-husband, Jeff Galluli, one of four men who have been charged, unlike Harding. Late last night, Galluli completed 16 and a half hours of questioning by the FBI and a county investigator, Galluli's lawyer, Ronald Hovet.
I'd say it took longer than we thought.
Are you going to be back tomorrow?
No.
What is the next step? A deputy DA said prosecutors are not following an Olympic timetable or a press timetable. Dan Revive, CBS News, Portland, Oregon.
Harding is also being investigated by the U.S. Figure Skating Association, which has named former USOC President William Hybl to head a five-member panel that meets next week in Colorado Springs. We asked him this morning what they'll be looking at.
It's too soon to tell if there's any sort of prevailing evidence which will be decisive in the determination and the investigation. But all of the statements of certainly Tanya Harding and those that are other statements that are in the public domain will be considered.
Clearly, under your rules, she could be disqualified for something far short of actual criminal activity, correct?
Well, this is the burden in a criminal case would be beyond a reasonable doubt, and what we're looking for is reasonable cause to believe that a violation has occurred before we actually have a full-blown hearing.
When do you expect to have a decision?
I think as far as the investigative stage goes, certainly 10 days or so after we start on February 1st.
William Hybl, heading the Figure Skating Association panel on the Nancy Kerrigan attack. It's been another ugly morning in the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic states where, depending on the temperature, commuters coped with treacherous ice or rivers of slush. There's a danger of flooding from runoff of rivers jammed with ice. Andy Farmer of Virginia's Transportation Department says one of their sand trucks even flipped over on the ice.
It is a dangerous situation, even for our trucks, which tend to be a little top-heavy when they're loaded with salt, and very difficult to stop in icy conditions.
And another big northeast storm is possible Sunday. More sharp aftershocks rocked Los Angeles overnight. As David Dow reports, they're even being felt in the federal budget.
California's Governor Pete Wilson is headed for Washington today to convince Congress to keep an open mind and pocketbook when it comes to earthquake disaster aid for the state. So far, President Clinton has proposed $7.5 billion for California. But accurate damage totals may not be known for another week, and Wilson fears they could run as high as $30 billion. Last night, a few hours after a 4.5 aftershock, Wilson gave Southern Californians a televised pep talk.
Thank you for your great courage and your great generosity to one another. They can shake us, but they can't break us.
Not all are generous, however. Some Northridge residents were allowed into their condemned apartment house, only to find that many furnishings had been hauled away.
Took the stereos, all of our Christmas presents were by the door, because we haven't put them away yet. They took all that.
The good news, more and more federal aid checks are in the mail to victims, nearly $19 million worth and counting. David Dow, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Burly character actor Claude Akins has died of cancer at his home in the Los Angeles suburb of Altadena. According to his family, he was 67. Best known for his TV roles as trucker Sonny Pruitt in Movin' On and a corrupt sheriff in Lobo, Akins also spent years playing in more than 50 movies, among them Merrill's Marauders.
Hollowitz, when are we going home?
I don't know. The general ain't checked with me yet.
Oh, come on, level with us. When are we going?
When we get replaced by the British.
What's holding them up?
The enemy, you meathead.
In recent years, Akins appeared in commercials for a chain of auto transmission shops. President Clinton, after resting his voice for 2 days, resumes his public schedule today with the focus on crime, as Mark Noller reports.
With the issue of violent crime on their minds and their agenda, many of the nation's mayors will be at the White House this afternoon to hear President Clinton's strategy. They heard some tough talk in his State of the Union speech, but the very next morning, at a high school a short drive from the White House, an outbreak of gunfire sent students diving for cover. Vice President Gore went there yesterday to deliver the White House line on violent crime.
And we're drawing the line, and we're digging in our heels as a nation, and we're saying enough is enough. It's time for this violence and gunplay to come to an end in this country, and especially in our schools.
But student Tanya Green wanted to hear more than talk.
So why do we have to live in fear? Why do we have to get our education in fear? Mm-hmm. Why can't we just come to school and learn and have fun doing it?
And those are just the kind of questions the president and the mayors will be addressing today. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
The reported U.S. plan to deploy Patriot air defense missiles to South Korea has ruffled the communist North, which today said it would increase the danger of war. A political crisis has been diffused in Japan, as Steve Herman reports.
Japan's prime minister has reportedly worked out a compromise with the leader of the opposition over political reform. Morihiro Hosokawa and the head of the Liberal Democratic Party apparently reached an 11th-hour accord on the composition of parliamentary electoral districts. The agreement's likely to mean that the prime minister will keep his job. He had threatened to quit if an agreement was not worked out by the end of the parliamentary session Saturday.
All British humanitarian aid convoys in Bosnia have been suspended after a British aid worker was shot to death and two others wounded in an ambush near Zenica. Prime Minister Major said he was profoundly shocked, and Foreign Secretary Hurd said Britain must rethink its aid program in Bosnia.
We have to make a judgment. It won't be done next week, but it should be done before the matter comes up again at the UN at the end of March. I don't think people in this country want to sit back and feel we're doing nothing to relieve this suffering. It's not a judgment we make just by ourselves, because other countries have troops there, other countries make the effort there.
A U.S. diplomat driving into the Ethiopian capital of Addis Ababa escaped injury today when his car was fired on by unidentified gunmen. Their vehicle had diplomatic plates. In a surprise move, San Francisco-based Bank America Corporation has announced plans to acquire Chicago's Continental Bank. The deal put at nearly $2 billion in cash and stock. Overseas, the dollar is lower, London gold off over $4, and on Wall Street, the Dow is ahead about 22.